Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper live tonight. It's Wednesday, January 16th. Apologies for last evening. I was finishing up a very good meal. Well, I should have been talking to you live here in this network. I got my time screwed up. But you know what? That's all right, folks, because I had a lot to talk to you about last night. I was looking forward to it. Now I have even more to talk to you about tonight. Lots of things in the news, commentary about the news, commentary from other people, commentary from our listeners, lots of little things, lots of big things. So I'm going to be rattling on here for some time tonight. I'll eventually, maybe, somehow, try to get around to some phone calls, but don't count on it. A lot to say. I have a lot to say, and some of our listeners have a lot to say, and I'm going to be letting you know what they have to say. Well, first of all, Ron Paul. Ron Paul is certainly in the news. The elections are certainly in the news. And I wasn't surprised to see in the Washington Post today that even though Ron Paul beat out Giuliani and Thompson in Michigan, not by a substantial amount, of course, but nonetheless he beat them out in the official vote count. And, of course, can we trust the official vote count? That's another debate for another time. But in any case, he did beat them out. And, of course, today when the Washington Post reported on the Michigan results, they only listed the top three candidates. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you that if Rudy Giuliani or Fred Thompson had been in fourth place, the Washington Post and the Washington Times in their headlines and in their lead stories would have listed the top four candidates. I mean, I really wonder, I mean, has someone in the Washington Post and has someone in the Washington Times actually sent out an order saying, oh, well, today we're only going to list the top three because we don't want to mention that Ron Paul is in the top four? I mean, you know, I as much of a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist as I am said to be, I really just don't want to believe that there is some editor at each of those newspapers who dictates these kind of things in order to try to suppress Ron Paul's candidacy. But isn't it funny that whenever Ron Paul beats out the two guys that were supposedly national figures, especially Mr. 911 himself, Rudy Giuliani, they somehow manage to just kind of forget about that? I don't know, folks. I really, you know, I'm tempted to call the Washington Post and the Washington Times and ask them how they reach those decisions. But, you know, having worked for two different newspapers over the last 27 years or so, I know how things work around newspapers. I know how there are space considerations. I know how sometimes you have to make do. I know how sometimes you have to get things ready for the printer. But I also know that there has been this deliberate effort to suppress news about Ron Paul's candidacy. And I just have to think that this is what it is. Because we do know for a fact that the people who control the media in this country, the very same people who, through an organization which has been called the Voter News Service and has had several names of related types over the past 25 or 30 years, these are the people who do count the votes, folks. These are the guys who release the results of the vote counts. And these are the people who really are keyed in, so to speak, who are connected to the computers that count the votes. So we know what their agenda is, and we know their agenda is to try to suppress Ron Paul. Well, none of that comes as any surprise. Well, when we come back, more commentary from me and from some of our listeners. Some emails I've received that may or may not interest you. Stay tuned.
Yeah. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, live tonight. About as live as I'm ever going to be, I suppose. Lots of news and commentary to impart here this evening. Here's something from the old news department. This is something that managed to get lost in my briefcase. I dug it out today, though, and I'm glad I did, because it just goes to show you where things are in our world today. The religion briefing of the Washington Post the other day carried two Associated Press articles, one after the other. This was actually right before Christmas. They ran both these articles side by side, and you know, I'm sure that whoever selected them didn't recognize the irony of it. Okay. First of all, in Owensboro, Kentucky, for some 40 years, the Texas Gas Commission, and why the Texas Gas Commission, Texas Gas Transmission is in Owensboro, Kentucky, I can't tell you, I don't know. But anyway, Texas Gas Transmission, for 40 years, displayed a large lighted cross every Christmas season. But this year, or I should say this past Christmas, Texas Gas Transmission decided not to put up the cross, which is more than 50 feet high and 30 feet wide. H. Dean Jones II, the president of the company, said the cross is a religious symbol that isn't accepted by everyone, and the company didn't want to alienate people of other faiths. I want all employees and visitors to feel welcome in our building, Jones said. It's that time of year when emotions for symbols and things important to us surface. They ought to gas him. Anyway, next story. This is in Poland. Officials lit a menorah in the Polish parliament's lower house to mark Hanukkah in what was believed to be a first for the parliament building. Rabbi Stambler and Deputy Parliament Speaker Jarosław Kalinowski jointly lit a candle which was used to light seven candles on a pre-World War II menorah decorated with the crowned eagle, the symbol of the Polish state. Poland has been accused of widespread anti-Semitism in the post-war era, says the Associated Press, but recent governments have been trying to reverse that image. Well, in Poland, a country which is, what, about 99.999% Catholic, maybe 95.999% Catholic and about 4% Protestant, well, they're going to light a menorah. They lit a menorah, but here in Owensboro, Kentucky, where they've had a cross for 40 years, they didn't light that cross anymore. God almighty, what does that tell you, folks? I mean, that should tell you everything if it tells you nothing. Well, here's an ironic news item. I saw this headline today. It just came out today. Indictment says ex-congressman aided Islamic group. Goes on to tell about a congressman who's mixed up with some company that's mixed up with this place and that place, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when I heard this, I said a congressman is indicted for aiding an Islamic group, said an ex-congressman. Well, I said to myself, good Lord, well, this must be one of these former black members of Congress, like maybe Earl Hilliard, who got kicked out of Congress because he said too many nicey-nice things about Islam or was perceived to be too friendly to Islamic groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you can imagine my surprise when I opened up the story and found out that the ex-congressman who got indicted was conservative Republican Mark Siljander, who served in the House of Representatives between 1981 and 87. Well, evidently, he has set up a lobbying firm. He set up a lobbying firm that's been in operation for more than 20 years. And he got mixed up with some Muslim groups who've been linked to an Afghan warlord, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the reason why I find this somewhat interesting, I don't want to say amusing, is that this Congressman Siljander, while he was in Congress, was known to be a slavish devotee of Israel. In fact, I wrote about him in the old Spotlight years and years ago and wrote about his bowing and scraping on behalf of the Israeli lobby. Well, that's while he was running for office and sitting in Congress, but evidently after he left Congress, he thought he could make some money trafficking as a lobbyist, and some of his lobbying activities have gotten him in trouble. And ironically enough, it's because he was involved in lobbying for Muslim-related organizations. But, of course, we've got all these members of Congress, current and past, who have been carrying water for Jewish organizations and for the Jewish lobby here, but they never get in trouble for that. Poor old Mark Siljander. Can't help but feel sorry for the guy. If he had stuck with his Jewish friends and stayed away from those bad Muslims, maybe he wouldn't be in the position he's in today. Well, again, that just tells us something about how things work. And how things work. Our friends in Israel, listen to this. This is from the Washington Times. As Israelis and Palestinians resume negotiations on Jerusalem for the first time in 7 years, a new Jews-only neighborhood in the Arab half of the city is slated to begin filling up. Now, this is from the pro-Israel Washington Times newspaper. And the article is written by a gentleman by the name of Joshua Mitnick. Now, that does not sound like an Arabic name. It does not sound like an Irish name. It does not sound like a Serbian name, nor a Chinese-American name. Yes, folks, it sounds like a Jewish name. And this Jewish writer in this pro-Israel publication, Washington Times, refers to the fact that there's a Jews-only neighborhood in Jerusalem in the Arab half of the city. Now, folks, I thought that Israel was just one of these wonderful democracies in which everybody's treated alike, and they don't have segregation, and they don't have evil policies like those evil Nazis that discriminated against people. You know, I mean, Jerusalem's supposed to be the state of Israel's supposed to be this wonderful rainbow place where everybody's equal and everybody gets along. Yet here the Washington Times admits that there's a Jews-only neighborhood. Jews-only? Isn't that discrimination, ladies and gentlemen? We're against discrimination. That's bad, 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 bad. Well, to slip back into the presidential race for a moment, I'm just shuffling through this pile of material here, as I threatened I was going to do. I'm reminded about something that our friend John McCain, that wonderful progressive, that wonderful reformer, that great patriotic American, that wonderful ex-POW who has about five friends who are former POWs, but then who is rejected and hated by most of the other POWs and certainly their families, a little point that everybody seems to forget about. People don't know about because the mass media doesn't tell them. Well, Mr. McCain, this great war hero, this fellow whose family fortune comes through the ties to organized crime, specifically the Bronfman crime family, this Mr. McCain, whose father helped cover up Israel's attack on the USS Liberty, Mr. McCain said that he could imagine keeping American troops for 100 years. Now, I had missed that, folks. I had missed that when he said that, folks. But, I mean, this is the kind of man we have who is now ostensibly one of the Republican Party's presidential frontrunners. Well, then, after he was asked about this, after his New Hampshire primary victory, McCain added, it could be 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years. Well, I think he's being facetious. But it does say a lot about the arrogance of this guy. The very fact that he said it's possible we could have troops there for 100 years. That sounds like imperialism to me, folks. And America is not supposed to be an imperial country. America is supposed to be a republic. But then again, you know, what's our Constitution? What are our historic principles? And the views of these criminals who are trying to continue to dispossess us, these criminals who continue to run amok when they should be sent to the gallows and the gas chambers, that Constitution means nothing. Well, it does mean something to Ron Paul, but you know, Ron Paul, he's under fire now because of his decision to name his money-raising campaign, have it on the Martin Luther King birthday. A lot of people were upset about that. A lot of people have absolutely correct criticisms of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was far from perfect. Few people are, and neither is Ron Paul perfect, but he is under fire for it. And you know what he's also under fire for? And this is very, very interesting. He is under fire for not standing up on this question of vote fraud in New Hampshire. Dennis Kucinich has successfully demanded a recount. There's a lot of people who think that recount could be problematic, but he has done it. But you know, Ron Paul apparently is shying away from that issue. And we are going to a break here momentarily. When we come back, I'm going to read you some excerpts from an open letter to Ron Paul by Paul Tepeti of the band Poker Face. A lot of you know Paul. He's actually been on this show a couple times. Good man. Anyway, stay tuned. More on that, much, much more on other topics, including the ever-controversial subject of race, R-A-C-E. And I don't mean race as in the presidential race, ladies and gentlemen. Race. Race relations. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
All of times have come, here but now they're gone. Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Pfeiffer here, talking about the ever-interesting subject of where Ron Paul is going and why he's where he is. Paul Tepeti of Poker Face, if you haven't heard his music, I do recommend it. Good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, his website, by the way, is pokerface.org. I think you can also access it at pokerface.com, but easily enough it can be found by going to Google and checking out the name Pokerface. You're going to find a lot of references to Pokerface because Paul Tepeti and his group Pokerface have played at a lot of patriotic rallies in lots of places. Well, Paul Tepeti has written an open letter to Ron Paul. I'm going to read parts of it, folks, because I think it bears reading. He says, "I write this with some reservation, but it needs to be said. If your campaign manager, Lou Moore, continues to run your campaign as he has, you will lose, so save yourself some time that would be better spent with your beautiful family and quit. Quit now. Before another generation of freedom lovers become discouraged, never to vote or participate in any future election. But if you're in to win it, please read on. Two points of contention that many of us in the grassroots have had with campaign manager Lou Moore. It's that he should have been screaming about censorship of Ron Paul by the media and vote fraud from day one. In the least, he should have been pushing the issue by citing past examples of vote fraud, as in the case of Ohio 2004 and Florida 2000, and how today there is little voter confidence in the electronic voting machines sold by Diebold, ES&S, Sequoia Heart, etc. Dr. Paul, didn't you watch Hacking Democracy by Bev Morris of blackboxvoting.org? Several Ron Paul supporters that I talked to had also called or emailed the campaign office in the past and were summarily dismissed with a, "We are looking into it," or "We have something in place." Well, guess what? Paul Tepetti writes, vote fraud has been discovered and Lou Moore was nowhere to be heard, and the supposed steps that Lou Moore said were in place to watch the fraud caught none of it. Dr. Paul, in a recent post found on your campaign website, a recent post dealt with the New Hampshire vote fraud issue, and you wrote you were satisfied with the results in New Hampshire and Iowa and that you would not be seeking a recount. Dr. Paul, this is a serious misstep and reveals your campaign staff does not have your best interests. Now, here's where Paul Tepetti makes a very interesting point, ladies and gentlemen, regarding New Hampshire. He says this to Ron Paul, your lack of action on this in a state small enough to show patterns of fraud more easily has, in essence, legitimized the fraud perpetrated upon you forevermore. In the end, what does it matter if we turn out and vote if there is no accountability of our vote when there is no paper trail to audit? He goes on to say, many Ron Paul supporters have complained that at every moment your staff looks like they are attending a funeral dirge. I saw it in Philadelphia with my own eyes. They should be exuding excitement and confidence like your supporters do for you. And then in his letter, Paul Tepetti has reproduced some very interesting pictures of the crowds that turned out for Ron Paul. And they do look like very enthusiastic people, and they're young people too, folks. And, you know, in this so-called movement or non-movement over the years, I have heard people time and time again, and this is Mike Piper talking here, I've heard people complaining there's not enough young people involved. Well, for God's sake, now they are involved, and that's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing, and I think Ron Paul should listen to what Paul Tepetti is saying. Paul says, you need to go on the offensive with vote fraud. Demand paper ballots and hand recounts when necessary. A great campaign manager would have been aware of this problem and been proactive long before the primaries. We are at war, and the stakes are America, our children, and our liberties. So again, I say to you, just quit now if you aren't going to fight the fraud before it really gets going. But if you want to win, whereby the rest of America wins along with you, then get rid of the dead weight immediately and lead us to victory. God bless. Well, folks, you know, Paul Tepetti, who wrote this letter, which I've just read to you, this open letter to Ron Paul, you know, Paul Tepetti is a very, very spiritual guy. He's a very upbeat guy. He's a very positive thinking, forward-looking guy. He's not one given to complaining. So when Paul Tepetti is moved to write a heartfelt letter like this, and a letter that I think really goes right to the heart of a problem in our electoral system, this problem of vote fraud that I've talked about on this show, which you are all aware of, you regular listeners to RBN and to this program, when Paul Tepetti is forced into taking such a loud stand, I think, folks, then maybe he might have put his finger on something. So I think Paul Tepetti is right. People need to start pushing Ron Paul on the vote fraud issue. Dennis Kucinich spoke up on it. Why can't Ron Paul? All right, more when we come back. We're going to talk about the Mormons before we get into the subject of race. Mormons. Boy, oh boy, that's going to be fun.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org. Said we're going to talk about the Mormons. You know, I have commented repeatedly here on this program about how since Mitt Romney has entered the presidential campaign that the subject of his Mormonism has constantly been a refrain in the Jewish-owned New Republic magazine, which is constantly caterwauling about the Jewish experience and Jewish rights and liberties and how wonderful Israel is, et cetera, ad nauseum. Well, you know, it's interesting. I had forgotten about this, but, you know, a movie came out, a Hollywood film came out, and now it's in Blockbuster for everybody in the video world. It's entitled September Dawn, and it is apparently based with some literary license on an event called the Meadow Mountain Massacre back in the 1850s, evidently a massacre by some Mormons of non-Mormons who were traveling west to California. And, you know, evidently this happened, but what's very, very interesting in it is that the movie contends, which the Mormon Church denies, that Brigham Young, who was then head of the Mormons, head of the Utah Territory at the time, that Brigham Young had anything to do with it. Well, you know, I don't know what the real story is. I haven't looked into it. And apparently there are a lot of people who are descendants of some of the people who did survive this massacre. And if the story told in the film is anywhere near true, it's a horrible, horrible thing. And the people are now demanding that the Mormon Church apologize for this thing that happened in 1853 and so forth. But what I find so interesting about it is that they would make a movie, Hollywood would, in fact, make a movie about this massacre that happened in 1853. But you know what? They're not going to make any films about the massacre of the men who were aboard the USS Liberty by the State of Israel, the murder of 34 Americans, and the butchering and maiming of 172, maybe 174 others. I don't expect to ever see a Hollywood film about that. We have heard, of course, there may be a major foreign filmmaker who may produce a film on it, but isn't it interesting that this film about the Mormon Church just happens to come out and get distribution at the time that Mitt Romney is running for president? I really don't think, folks, that our Jewish friends trust Mitt Romney because, you know, as I said to somebody called me the other day from Europe and asked me if I knew if Mitt Romney had any connections to any secret societies. They were referring to the Bilderberg Group and the Council on Foreign Relations, et cetera, et cetera. I said, there's only one secret society, any one organization I know he's connected with, and that's the Mormon Church. Yep, I don't think when all is said and done, folks, that they're going to let Mitt Romney get the Republican nomination. Speaking of the attack on the USS Liberty, this is before we go to the subject of race, ladies and gentlemen, I just found out, now, as you know, Mark Glenn of the American Free Press, who's a regular on this show, has written extensively about the attack on the USS Liberty and American Free Press, and for years and years, a spotlight before American Free Press carried stories on the topic. And, of course, you've heard Phil Turney write on this show talk about it. You've heard people from the USS Liberty Veterans Association on this program. You've heard them on other programs on this network. Many of you who are readers of American Free Press undoubtedly saw Phil Turney's open letter to Congress that we just published in American Free Press. But you know what's interesting, folks? Well, virtually all of the fellows who were active in the USS Liberty Veterans Association are firm supporters of American Free Press, and they appreciate what we've done. There's one or two folks, and I'm not going to name them. They're actually not very well received, even among the other survivors. They have been attacking American Free Press, and this is off one of their websites. This group says that we abhor the racist and ill-informed positions taken by the Liberty Lobby, the American Free Press, and similar anti-Semitic organizations. We repudiate their comments and oppose them in every way. The campaign for accountability for the attack on USS Liberty has no room for hate mongers. We do not seek harm for any country or people, only accountability for the criminal acts perpetrated against us. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you that the person who wrote that can take a running jump straight into hell. I can also tell you, folks, that the person who's responsible for writing that, I have here in my funny little file, wish I could dig it up right now, but I have here in my funny little file a handwritten note from the person who wrote that, this person who attacked Liberty Lobby and who attacked American Free Press. I have a handwritten note from that individual when he personally wrote to Liberty Lobby and provided Liberty Lobby inside information about the attack on the USS Liberty. This is in his handwriting, folks. And then he says, has a P.S. He says, oh, but don't list me as a source. Don't use my name. So in other words, this guy who was encouraging Liberty Lobby to bring out information about the attack on the USS Liberty, when Liberty Lobby's newspaper, The Spotlight, was the only publication of any national consequence to be writing about the attack on the USS Liberty, This guy was publicly attacking Liberty Lobby at the same time he was writing handwritten notes to Willis Cardo and to the editor of the Spotlight newspaper. Now, folks, there's one word for that. It's called hypocrisy. But, you know, what makes this all the more amazing is that, you know, folks, there was a library named in honor of the USS Liberty and its men, both living and dead, that was established up in Wisconsin some years ago. It was only named for the USS Liberty because several elderly gentlemen contributed several hundred thousand dollars, if I recall correctly, toward that library. And they had the option of giving the library the name that they did, and they chose the USS Liberty. And, of course, they came under fire from the Anti-Defamation League. Well, you know what, folks? Those old gentlemen, the brothers, whose name escaped me, they were German-Americans, they found out about the USS Liberty because of articles in the Spotlight newspaper. And I can tell you that former Congressman Pete McCloskey of California, who became an outspoken critic of the State of Israel, he was a liberal Republican congressman. Congressman McCloskey, speaking right here at a Liberty Lobby gathering in Washington, D.C., publicly praised Willis Cardo and Liberty Lobby for all the work that Liberty Lobby had done on behalf of publicizing what happened to the USS Liberty. And it was Congressman McCloskey who worked very closely with the fellows from the USS Liberty in their fight against the people who were trying to stop that library from being named in their honor. So, folks, you know what? Mark Glenn and I, along with the rest of the people at American Free Press, are proud of the work that has been done on behalf of the USS Liberty. And the hypocrite who attacked American Free Press, as I say, he is a hypocrite, and he can take a running jump straight into hell. We got too many hypocrites like that. You know what I mean? It just, who does he think he's making happy? Does he think he's making the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith happy? Does he think that by attacking American Free Press as being anti-Semitic? Does he think that suddenly the Anti-Defamation League is going to come out and support an investigation in the attack on the USS Liberty? If he believes that, folks, he's a fool. Well, the subject of race, that is in the news with the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. And I've received a couple emails in the last couple days from some of our listeners who are concerned about the issue of race. Here's one of the emails I received. The writer says, to me, he says, you talk from time to time about your collection of African-American music, the agreement and support you get from black people you know in D.C. and from African cab drivers. You even bring up your Native American heritage and your black godson in an attempt to make allegations of racism less sticky. Non-whites may see this as pandering, but more importantly, you risk alienating your base of support in the pro-white community. You don't want to go the path of Ron Paul, who has been damaged by his support of Martin Luther King and black crime. Well, okay, I need to comment on this. I wrote the guy back an email. I was kind of puzzled and amused at this. You know, this subject of race gets everybody exercised, both the blacks and the anti-blacks, and all those people that really don't give a damn about the issue one way or another, they get very queasy when it comes up. Well, he says, I talk from time to time about my collection of African-American music. I'm not particularly a collector of music, and I wasn't really even aware that I have ever mentioned. You know, I like rock music. I like classical music. I have some music by a couple black blues singers. But I'm primarily, when it all comes right down to it, I generally listen to classical music, and that's not very African American. But you know, there's a lot of people that think rock music is African music. So maybe that's what he's talking about. Then he goes on to say the agreement and support. I talk about the agreement and support I get from the black people I know in D.C. Well, you know, D.C. is 75% black, folks. It's funny how you run into blacks in D.C. But the fact is, I will say here again and again and again for the record, that I find more blacks proportionally more politically aware of what the hell is going on in this country than I do nice, educated white people. So I don't know what that says about white people, but if they are not educated enough to be able to come up to the same levels of recognition of what's going on in this country from blacks, then I don't know what the problem is. And then he goes on to mention African cab drivers. It's kind of funny because, you know, African cab drivers and the general black population, African-American blacks, black Americans, there's been a constant war in D.C. between the African cab drivers and the black Americans. The black Americans are always screaming their heads off about the fact that African cab drivers won't pick them up. And I have African cab drivers, frankly, tell me that they won't pick up young blacks. And guess what? I even have black American cab drivers tell me they won't pick up young blacks. But again, you see, here I mention the fact about African cab drivers having a tendency to agree with me when I talk about, say, the Middle East, for example. And yet this listener gets all exercised by it because he thinks that I'm pandering to blacks by talking about African cab drivers. He goes on. He says, you bring up your Native American heritage. Well, you know, it's so funny. It's so funny that so many people get upset when you mention you have a Native American heritage. And I don't call it Native American. I call it American Indian. I wonder when this guy talks about Native American, even this guy is using the politically correct terminology. And yes, I do have a black godson. And the father of my black godson and his family know exactly what my positions are on the issues of race and racial policies. I've always adopted the old-fashioned Jeffersonian position of special privileges for all, equal rights for all, special privileges for none. Well, he says, I'm risking alienating my base of support in the pro-white community. Well, I'm not sure exactly what the pro-white community is, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, is there a pro-white community and an anti-white community? And that's presumably among whites. I guess what he means is that there are people out there who are especially concerned about racial issues, and then those who aren't concerned about racial issues. Well, you know, you can't get away from race, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of people that want to get away from discussion of the topic, as I said earlier. And, you know, where it's appropriate, it will be discussed. Well, I don't know about Ron Paul's support. Or he says, you don't want to go the path of Ron Paul, who has been damaged by his support of Martin Luther King and black crime. Well, I don't know that I'm going down the path of Ron Paul, but I didn't know that Ron Paul supported black crime. I'm not quite sure what he means there. Maybe he's saying that by saying something nice about Ron Paul or Martin Luther King, Ron Paul is effectively supporting black crime. I don't know, folks. I just well, anyway, I've received another email on the subject of race, stimulated by the fact that I apparently praised former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. He calls her your favorite Beltway chocolate princess. Well, this Beltway chocolate princess got kicked out of office, as you know, by an organized effort on the part of the Jewish community because, number one, she's raised questions about 911, something that no other member of Congress has done. She has criticized U.S. support for Israel, and she also called for an investigation of the attack on the USS Liberty. Well, this gentleman, very smart guy, received numerous emails from him, very articulate guy. I'm not going to read his whole email, but he is saying that we shouldn't even support any black people because he says that the survival of the white people can only be ensured by getting all non-whites and non-European-descended peoples out of our living space. Well, you know, that does present a problem for me because, you know, as I said, some of my people weren't white. They were American Indians, not Native Americans. So I don't, I find it very difficult to say that American soil is our living space because, you know, whatever time in the past several thousands of years that American Indians settled in this country, yes, there probably were, there certainly were, I should say, white people here before American Indians. History shows that. The Barnes Review has written on it extensively. The American Indians were here for a while, and, you know, they did get kicked around. So I'm not sure what to say about it. Now, this gentleman has more to say, and when we come back, I'm going to read you more about it, because the issue of race is an issue that we cannot avoid. It's an issue that is of great interest to a lot of our listeners, and it's an issue that we hear about day in, day out. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. You know, I've been on a roll here this evening, and I lost complete track of the time. We only have a few minutes left here. We have got a whole raft of callers. And you know what? I'm not going to get to bring them up here tonight. I'm not even going to be able to finish up what I wanted to discuss here. But I tell you what, tomorrow night, we are going to pursue this discussion of race for the entire show, and I'm going to ask a special guest to come on tomorrow night, and I want to continue to pursue this very interesting email that I received from one of our listeners, which I just started to reference before we went on the air. So tomorrow night, folks, if you're interested in race, we are going to be talking about race and race relations and where it all stands vis-a-vis the power groups in this country, how it affects the presidential elections, you know, just what we're supposed to do about it. I personally find it very difficult, as I say, to suggest that American Indians are on our living space here. It's kind of like according to this Mormon film that I was talking about, Brigham Young supposedly said that Utah was the Mormon territory and the Gentiles, as he called them in the film, were not to be there. So I don't know, folks. This question of race is a very difficult topic. We're going to talk about it tomorrow night. We're going to devote the entire show to it, and I'm going to bring up tomorrow evening as a guest someone who you're very familiar with, who has his views on the subject, and we'll be talking with him tomorrow night. But in any case, I would urge you to stay tuned for more good programming on this network that's coming up. But tomorrow night, if you are interested in this subject of race, whatever your position is on the subject, you'll definitely want to tune in. And, whatever you have to say, this is an open forum, and we're going to let you say it here. Whether you agree with me or whether you disagree with me or whatever your position is, because, that's just the way it is. And I don't think everything on this issue of race is as black and white or black or white as a lot of people seem to think. People on both sides of the issue, and even those people who don't take a position one way or another on the issue. But, it's an issue that's not going to go away. We've seen the hypocrisy of Hillary Clinton refusing to fire this billionaire black man, Robert Johnson, who made these remarks about Barack Obama's possible drug use, or remarks that hinted at Barack Obama's previous references to his drug use. She fired the white man who did it, but she didn't fire the black man who did it. She won't do that, of course, because that black man's a billionaire. So maybe it doesn't come down to race. Maybe it comes down to money, as far as Hillary Clinton is concerned. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about race tomorrow night. And, there's some big news that's coming up or has come up in the realm of, that other topic, Holocaust denial. And we'll talk about that later here during the week. Boy, Friday is coming upon us. Tomorrow's Thursday, then we have Friday. Well, tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, race, race, race. And we're not talking about the presidential race. All right, I'm sure I will see you here tomorrow night. Apologies to those very patient callers who popped up, but I think you had a pretty good idea you weren't going to get to talk. Thanks for listening in, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper signing off here this evening. Stay tuned for more good programming on this Republic Broadcasting Network. With